Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm back. Well, not really back, but back on the air. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Drew?
I'm here.
I miss you, buddy.
Oh, no, you don't. Really, I miss
no,
you
I do.
Too. In fact,
good.
At first, it was kind of a relief, you know, to have a little change of things, and I got an ass full of Jimmy after about 3 hours.
Sure.
That was it.
Yeah. You know, Jimmy's great. He's like fudge. He's so tempting. That first bite is so sweet and so delectable, but you feel sick to your stomach after a couple squares, right?
Dude, I barfed.
No. Let me say this about my partner, Jimmy Kimmel. And by the way, let me throw a plug out for him. Jimmy can be found on The Man Show Sunday nights at 10 o'clock. Don't miss him on The Man Show Sunday nights, 10 o'clock, Comedy Central. What a genius. But I'll tell you, I did catch some of the show from out here in New York, and he did a great job. Maybe a little too good. I mean, he was very, very good. I was jealous as
he was walking through
Manhattan.
He did.
So I definitely want to thank my partner and on-again, off-again lover, Jimmy Kimmel, for doing a great job over the last two nights filling in for me on Loveline.
Hey, Adam.
Yeah.
You know how Anderson told you to get up on the mic and on the Stern Show?
Mm-hmm.
Get closer. Don't do that right now.
Get back on it?
Yeah, right now it's working against you.
Oh.
There you go.
Better?
Much better.
Yeah, this better?
Much better.
All right, well, anyway, let me repeat that last 10 minutes.
Okay,
I love Jimmy Kimmel. Oh, okay. So,
I heard you had, listen, let's talk a little about your Stern episode. I heard you had a tough morning Monday morning.
I was very tired.
People were abusing you. I wanted to come up and kick some ass.
Yeah.
I felt like defensive. I wanted to go get them for you.
What were you doing? Were you listening?
Sure.
Oh, Drew, that's so fantastic of you. Yeah, a couple of phone calls telling me how much I sucked and how I needed to kill myself.
Adam, shut your mouth.
And I told people, I said, look, he is, Adam's serious. He wants them to come down. He's going to kick their ass. He is not kidding.
It's a great policy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Some guy from Newark calls in, stoned, who's out of work, and says I'm an a-hole, and I want to meet him out front of the building.
Nice.
Yeah, what a great career ender.
But now you had a better morning this morning.
Yes, not so many naysayers.
That's good.
Probably more calling in, just Howard didn't put them through.
The Stern gave me a little grief, I understand. I didn't hear this word.
Well, you know, when you're on top, Drew,
I see.
People love to take shots at you.
I see how that works. Yes, yes.
Well, you know how everyone in radio hates everyone in radio?
Yeah.
Like, I even hate myself for being in radio.
Right,
I know,
right.
Drew, you hate me, and I hate you.
Right.
Everyone hates everyone else in radio. There's so many doctors in radio that are not the real McCoy.
Right.
And that are the so-called love doctors or these sort of therapists who are hawking cassettes. That when anyone hears the doctor title put in front of a radio personality, they automatically assume the worst.
Right, right.
But I straightened them out.
Oh, good.
And told them to your bona fide witch doctor.
God bless you.
So they have a newfound respect for you, Dr. Drew.
All just so I'm able to score for you. So.
Thank God for Dr. Drew.
Last night I got a whole 5 hours sleep before I did the radio.
Oof.
And tonight I'll be getting back to the hotel about 3:30 and getting up about 5:15 to go do the Stern Show.
Good times. Is Daniel out there? Is that why you're staying up so late?
Well, no, you don't have to stay up late when you got to get up at 5.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you got to look at it this way too, Drew, and then I'll stop complaining. But I go to bed at 2 a.m.
Yeah.
In L.A. time, correct?
Yeah.
I mean, I come home from the show at 12:30. I shoot a little heroin.
Mm-hmm.
I bang this hooker corpse I keep in my basement.
Mm-hmm.
I have a couple glasses of wine. I do a little more heroin. I do a 8-ball, and I go to bed at 2 o'clock. That is my routine.
There you go.
Well, 2 o'clock in L.A. is what time in New York?
It's 5 o'clock.
That's 5 o'clock. And what time do you have to wake up if you want to do the Howard Stern show out of New York?
4 o'clock. 7?
No, 5 o'clock, you idiot. I had the answer right there for you.
Well, I thought it started at 5.
No, it starts at 6.
Okay, I get up at 5. All right.
You get up at 5. Good. So what is that? The time I go to bed is the time I get up.
That's good.
So, No, it's not good.
It's good the way you organize that. It's nice. That way you just don't have to sleep. Just double down on that eight ball.
It's good for about 45 minutes, but by like 8:30 that morning, it's awful. Like 6 o'clock in your time, and you're going insane.
That is awful.
But anyway, tonight I'm going to sleep for a couple hours. I'll gut it out. Then I'll hop onto a plane, and I will be back at home with all of my little kittens tomorrow night.
You and Jimmy can consummate again. So let's take some calls. Here's Romeo's 18.
Yeah, from Dallas, Texas.
Yeah.
Great.
I got a kind of need some help maybe on this one.
Let's go.
I'm 18. She's 39. I knew her for like 2 years. I met her off a chat line.
You've actually met her face to face, or you've only had?
Never have. And I talked to her, and we kind of got close, and it's kind of scaring me in a way because she's supposed to be a full-figured woman. I've been telling my homeboys and my friends about this stuff, and today's my birthday actually.
Happy birthday.
Thanks. And Thursday, I'm going to do my thing tomorrow night. Thursday, she's supposed to come pick me up. We're going to go out to eat. I'll meet her for the first time, and then she's going to give me my birthday present. And she's a nymphomaniac. I mean, she's into phone sex, actually. I would admit it. I had phone sex for a couple of times.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, really, hold on. Really good at it. Listen, with a name like Romeo...
That's not my real name, but I didn't want anybody else to know who I...
All right, well, listen. Let me tell you what you're in for tomorrow night.
Okay.
First off... Full figured in person means, you know, big ass.
Yeah.
But full figured over the internet means morbidly obese.
No, on the chat line. Like,
oh, yes.
Talk on.
Well, it means morbidly obese.
Maybe he likes that.
Do you like big gals, Romeo?
No, I like big titties, but I don't like a big girl.
You going out to dinner with her tomorrow night?
Yeah, and she's supposed to give me my birthday present. See, we know each other for 2 years. She said she's going to make up for last year, too.
Yeah, but, Romeo, listen. This is a 40-year-old woman, okay?
Yeah.
Who's carrying on with a 17-year-old. Don't you think
wait a minute. Yeah, you're right. 39 on the internet means 44.
In real life.
And full-figured means morbidly obese. You have a middle-aged, morbidly obese woman that you're going to have dinner with tomorrow night.
Yeah, she's supposed to, you know, hopefully perform some oral sex on me. I'm a virgin.
See, out of here.
This got to be bogus.
No, I'm serious, dude. I swear to God, dude, about all this.
But Romeo, what? You're not listening to us. We're saying this is a disturbed person. She's a middle-aged person carrying on with a 17-year-old. I know to you, you're the 17-year-old too. So to you, it's cool. You're anxious to get rid of your virginity. Fantastic. But she is someone who is disturbed. This could really be a problem. This is an adult behaving terribly inappropriately, and it suggests there's something more going on here. And there's other ways to lose your virginity than meeting someone in a chat room.
How about just like a good old-fashioned prostitute, for Christ's sake?
That would be more safe, frankly. It probably would.
He kept skimming over the morbidly obese part, but I was not kidding.
Yeah, I know.
You label yourself full-figured on the internet, you got a serious weight problem.
Here's Patrick. He's 19. Patrick?
Yes.
What's up?
I still have feelings for my ex-girlfriend.
All right.
A lot of feelings.
How long ago did she break up with you?
It's been a long time, and we've been keeping in contact.
Hey, Patrick?
Yes.
How long ago did she break up with you? Welcome back to Loveline, Adam, by the way.
Yeah, I forgot. Can I go now?
How long ago, Patrick?
A year.
A year ago. And how long had you dated her?
A year. Maybe a year and a half to two.
And did she break up with you?
No.
Why did you ask her?
I'm really shy about when it comes to that.
Patrick?
Yeah.
This is Jed Clampett talking. Hoo doggy! Why'd you all break up with this little Dixie chicken?
I don't know. I was going through one of those things.
One of them stages where you just didn't want to get laid for the rest of your life?
I couldn't make up my mind of what I wanted to do and all that.
Alrighty. And why'd it take you so long to change your mind? I mean, if you were interested in this girl 6 months ago, why didn't you contact her then?
Well, this is the first time I heard from her. Why? Because it's been real hectic for her. She moved out of her parents' house, and I lost contact.
She done contacted you?
Yes.
So she's interested in yous.
Yous all.
Because she saved my life.
How's that?
Put them on hold for a second. I want to take some guesses here.
All right. Well, how'd she save his life?
Yeah, well, let me tell you something. Because back in the day, saving your life
jumping
that
in
you
front.
Got in a fiery car wreck and somebody dragged you out of a burning heap.
Or there was somebody fiery with firearms and she took the bullet, jumped in front of it.
I'll guess he, doubled down on some Robitussin, fell on the floor and hit his head, and she called 911.
I think you're giving her too much credit. I think it's more like he was just considering having a blue ball episode and was challenging him.
He was going to kill himself by a scrotum sack exploding?
Yes, exactly. Patrick.
Yeah.
What happened? How did she save your life?
Well, I've known to have spells of blacking out, and I don't drink.
Mm-hmm.
And I was walking on the railroad tracks one night and passed out.
And was she with you that night?
No, I walked off by myself.
She just found you on the tracks?
Passed out, yes. They were looking for me and I passed out on the railroad tracks. They drove me off where I could at least get back to normal.
Patrick, have you had this treated, these spells?
I went to see a doctor, and it said was high blood pressure.
No, it's not high blood pressure. Okay, no. You need to see a neurologist and figure out why this is happening.
That's what I went to, and it said it was because of either high or low blood pressure because I had spells at work one time, and I had to go see a neurologist.
Okay, good. Well, it's not high blood pressure. It could be low blood pressure.
Hey, Patrick?
Yes.
I'm no doctor, and I'm no conductor or engineer, but I do know this. If you're prone to passing out, you should not use train tracks as your number one mode of transportation.
It's a command affair.
Yes.
I haven't went near train tracks since.
Right. That's a good boy. All right, well, look, call her up.
Yeah, call her and ask her. Well, you got nothing to lose. She may be interested for all we know. Right? Here's
Who could leave all that?
Nikki, 20.
She must have been devastated when he dropped that bomb on her and broke up with her.
Nikki.
Hello.
What's up?
I've been bleeding since the last time I had sex, and I'm kind of freaked out by it.
Since the last time you had sex?
The last time I had sex was Sunday.
And are you supposed to be having your period now?
No, I did about 2 weeks ago.
Are you?
Is it different than when you have your period?
Yeah, it's different.
Are you on the pill?
Yes, I am.
Is it a new pill?
No. I've been on the same pill for 3 years.
Are you on any other medication?
No, I'm not.
3 years. And you've never had any mid-cycle bleeding?
No, I really have. Well, I did for a while, but that was caused by stress. And this, I don't really think is.
All right, so you're prone to mid-cycle bleeding anyway. And so
it's only happened once before this.
Okay, well, now it's happened again. And people that have mid-cycle bleeding can have it again. And it's not a big deal. Do you have any other symptoms of, like, infection?
I don't think so.
Okay. Is there any chance you're pregnant?
No, I don't think so. I'm on the pill.
All right. The only thing, I mean, you took taking the pill properly, that sort of thing.
Yes, I have.
The only thing that really is a concern with bleeding, this is too soon after, but soon after sex, is the possibility of an ectopic pregnancy.
Uh-huh.
And that, you know, is not going to be 3 or 4 days.
Is that tube baby?
Tube baby, yeah. That causes bleeding and abdominal pain.
Uh-huh.
Infection is another thing of concern. And did you use a condom when you had sex?
The last time I did.
Okay, so it's unlikely to be infection. So it's just your mid-cycle bleeding. And very often, sex will stimulate mid-cycle bleeding.
Okay.
So there you go.
Okay.
All right? So, you ought to talk to the doctor that's prescribing the pill nonetheless. This is Josh, 32.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Josh.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, Josh, you're calling from New York. Did you listen to Adam on Howard Stern this morning?
No, I didn't.
Oh.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
Sorry, man.
Glad I made the trip out.
I'm disabled and have a lot of trouble with being intimate with women.
What do you got?
It's a disease, the clubbing of the hands and feet. And so, you know.
Can you get around?
Yeah, I can get around fine. But it... It just seems that I really can't get a sort of steady, you know.
Is this because you're ashamed or people aren't attracted or what's the problem?
I think I come on too needy.
Well, yeah, there is that. We've always said this, Adam, haven't we?
Yeah, well, girls don't, I mean, girls want a project, but they don't want the project presented to them.
Right.
They want to find the fixer-upper and do the work. They don't want it dropped off on their doorstep. But let me ask you about the clubbing process, because my dad had club feet, and his brother had really bad club feet. They had to, you know, do surgeries and have them in casts when they were kids.
Yeah.
Did you have you had multiple surgeries?
Yeah. That's yeah. Something.
And did they fix it to some degree?
Yeah, they did. I mean, I went the normal high school walk around and you look fine, but, you know.
What do your hands look like?
One is semi-straight because of surgery, and the other one is still clubbed.
And club just means sort of turned in, like if you took your... does it look like this? Like if I was doing a movie where I had to play you, let's say, and I needed a clubbed hand, would I sort of... put my fingers together, not make a fist, but touch all my fingertips together and then bend my wrist in as far as I could?
Basically, yes.
Yeah, you curl it.
Well, I think I could pull this off, Drew.
That's good.
Yeah.
Henry V, here you go.
I look, when I'm writing, that's what I look like anyway, like a retard with a pen stuffed in there. Left-handers do that, you
know. So, Josh wants help on how to, what, get confidence or where to meet people or what are you looking
exactly.
for?
Exactly. Well, maybe where to meet women.
I don't know that this has so much to do with the clubbing aspect of your life.
As his self-concept.
Although, ironically, if you went to clubs, you might get laid.
What do you do for a living, Josh?
I'm in finance and music.
What is it?
Finance?
Finance and music.
Those do not seem like the same field to me.
Yeah, I know. A drummer and I work in investment banking.
Right. And how you sound sort of like a guy who's been beaten down by life just a little bit, Josh.
Well, not really. I was just made fun of a lot.
Yeah, yeah. You seem like, not physically, but because of what you had physically, you became damaged goods emotionally, and that's what women are tuning into with him. Do you get that vibe, Drew?
Yeah, because many times disability will cause people actually to rise above and to find strength in themselves that women find actually attractive. And they can see past the clubbing or whatever it might be. But in Josh's case, sort of, he's become impaired. He sees himself as faulty in some way. And he needs to get past that. He needs to get out there, take some risks, and start building a sense of who he is socially.
I don't think there's any magic answer here,
no,
and I don't think it's the clubbing part that are going to, send the women running the other way. It's that sort of helped me. I'm broken.
It's interesting. We normally would tell a guy that age, well, get your ass together, work hard at work. Once you're feeling good at work, you feel good about yourself. But we're not telling him that, are we?
No.
And I don't feel that would work for him, interestingly. It's sort of an earlier injury.
No, he plays the drums and he's got a decent job. So it's not that. It's just his sort of general approach to life.
Yeah.
And women pick up on that and true. Oh, as a guy, wouldn't you love to see some woman that just was emotionally abused her whole life that you could just go in there and cash in on?
What do you mean?
Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, what do you mean?
What a find.
Oh, I mean, yeah, it's easy pickings for guys.
What I mean is if a guy goes to a garage sale and he sees a Picasso and it's 99 cents, he wants it.
That's right. Women go, oh, I don't want that. No one wants that. That's why it's 99 cents.
The woman sees it and goes, it must be some kind of knockoff or bad print. I don't want it. If it's 99 cents, I'm not interested. How good could it be?
Well, I had a girlfriend years ago who would not shop on a sale rack because I meant no one wanted it.
Right. Yeah, they're good that way.
That by the end of the relationship immediately.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Super Jew Drew. Yeah, no way is that going to work. Are you kidding?
It's Trisha 14.
True, you get like your vegetables from the bruised discount aisle at the supermarket and stuff, right?
The ground, Adam.
Yeah.
Just gotta dig them up.
All right, first, I'd like to say, Adam, my boyfriend absolutely adores you. You're his hero.
And he's 12?
He's 14.
Nice, good times.
Good times.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes, he's 14 like me.
Great.
My question was, I have been masturbating and recording it for him.
For who? Mm. Your boyfriend?
Yes. Mm. To masturbate to. So we didn't get caught because my dad's kind of a psycho freak dude.
What do you mean he's a psycho freak dude?
He really doesn't... Well, he made me promise not to have sex until I'm 18.
Promise. It's nice that he sort of had the talk with you and told you what he would like.
Oh, no, he didn't say that. He said either you promise to not have sex until you're 18 or you don't see this guy at all.
I see.
Okay.
All right. So you record it on what?
Audio tape.
MP3?
Audio tape.
Mm-hmm.
So no video.
No, not yet.
And what is your intention? What is this doing for him?
It helps him masturbate.
I see. So you're sort of, this is a way of not having sex, avoiding that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Drew, at 14, how much help did you need from an audio standpoint to beat off? Is that something you could do without an audio?
I managed, yes. Yes.
And let me ask you this, Trisha?
Mm-hmm.
Like, at a certain point, do you stop and a chime goes off and you go, flip over tape now?
No.
And then you go back to you panting? It doesn't go that long?
Oh, yeah. The most I've done is 180 minutes for him.
180 minutes. Let's see. I'm going to do my 14-year-old beat-off math. I would have came 1,700 times. So I about average one every 45 seconds. Yeah, that's about right. So, well, hey, Trisha, wait a minute. I'm very intrigued by this.
Yeah.
Now, can't you just fake it? I mean, do you have to actually, like, where do you put the microphone?
Well, either right between my legs or anywhere I want to.
So he hears the sound of your parts?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
And he then masturbates to that. Has he seen you naked?
Yeah.
And now does he make tapes of him masturbating and send those back to you?
Mm-mm.
Do you want him to?
Not really.
Okay. Did he ask you to do this?
Yes and no. He kind of asked me and I just said yes.
Okay. When he said tape, he probably didn't mean audio tape, though.
I know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, he could have got masking tape, so I guess
tape.
It could have been worse. Yeah, that's got to be a little disappointment. It's like, hey, babe, I'd like to see some tape of you masturbating. Oh, okay, done and done. Then she drops off a reel-to-reel. It's like you're queuing it up.
But you don't need to send him repeat performances, you know what I mean? I mean, he's got plenty of material.
Yeah.
Okay.
The 180-minute tape wasn't enough to get him through the year? He needs more than that?
Well, he wants a tape for every day of the year.
A different one. He wants to know, this is a weird guy thing. He wants to know that she's doing this and thinking of him and not straying, I bet.
Do you talk at all, or is it just noises?
Just noises.
And what do you label these tapes?
Oh, I don't label anything. I give them to him.
You don't put Incubus on there and send it over to him?
No.
What I'm saying is...
check it.
If someone found the tape, what would they think? It's just a blank tape?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You better be careful with that.
All right. I'm glad you're thinking of creative ways to maintain your abstinence. That's the good news.
This sounds doomed, though.
But it sounds a little problematic. It's got some issues attached to it. Just
kill yourself.
Don't put yourself in a situation where, if you don't want to have sex, do not put yourself in a situation where you guys are likely to sort of get momentum going. Make sure you don't get into that situation, because you'll probably end up having sex if you're not careful. You see what I'm saying? Like, don't end up with your clothes off together, because you're trying to maintain abstinence, okay?
Yeah. And don't let him talk you into cutting a demo.
Yeah.
Where you're both naked and you got the microphone up your ass.
Yeah, and who knows what kind, if she starts videotaping where these will end up or if they break up. I mean, this could be a really embarrassing thing for her.
I will tape, the sound of my own farts and send it to Jimmy.
Yeah, but
I think that's within the spectrum of normal behavior.
You're both adults, and he derives endless pleasure from that.
Consenting adults. Yes. And Drew, you ever think about this for just one moment, if you will.
Uh-oh.
You have two sons, yes?
Yes.
Yes. Yes?
Yes.
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 Yes. They're beautiful lads, by the way. And I'm going to get to work on that treehouse for your young daughter.
God bless you and Lynette.
Yes. She has lit a fire under me. She's motivated me. But here's what I want to say. there's a very likely chance that one of your two sons is going to marry some woman with some sex videotapes of her floating around the country
somewhere. How dare you?
I'm just doing the math. Okay. I mean,
I should be relieved you didn't include my daughter in this. So, okay, go ahead. Yes. I know your impulse was to go there, but thank you for not.
No, it was not, because I believe she's more prudent than that and will possibly be a lesbian because of the ice skating.
Okay.
But I do think that with there's a video camera in each and every household in the country, is there not?
Mm-hmm.
There's teenagers or kids, as we like to call them, are starting earlier and earlier, and it's a wide open internet experimentation, instant gratification, and we need a picture of everything kind of society we're living in now.
Yes.
Now, back, let's say, 10 years ago, I don't know what the percentage is. I mean, this was something that didn't exist when we grew up.
That's right.
But I think a high percentage of people are going to have tapes of them having sex by the time they get to college.
It's an interesting theory. If it happens, you and I will hear about it.
I'll take it a step further that half the young female celebrities that do become celebrities at some point in years in the future, some tape is going to pop up of them somewhere, and it's going to make its rounds on the internet.
All right.
And we got that to look forward to as a society.
Good times.
All right there, buddy.
Here we go.
Want to take a little break?
We do need to.
Yeah, all right there, Drew.
Do I need to push this button, Anderson, or are you doing it from over there? I'm doing it from over here. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. I'm out in New York for one more night. Again, I want to thank the great Jimmy Kimmel for filling in for me and doing such a great job Sunday and Monday night. And I'll be back in town and in full effect tomorrow night.
Is this the first time you've been in that new CBS radio studio, the shrunken down Westwood one?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, no, I've been in this building before.
Oh, have you? Remember it used to be on a whole floor of a skyscraper down in Times Square?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I've been, they've been here for a few years.
Yeah,
I've been here a couple of times.
Hey, Adam,
you know what I like about this place?
What's that?
I was here, who knows, a year ago or whatever, 2 years ago. There's a guy who I marvel at who's right across the hall who sleeps at his desk.
Yes.
He's got his feet up on the table.
Yeah.
He looks like, he's just sitting in a room with a bunch of stuff.
He's the one, buttons and gauges. If you go out the door, he's right straight in front of you.
Right. Yeah, you open the door. Now, he's got a big window in there, so everyone can clearly see him sleeping. But you know what? I think there's kind of an unspoken thing if you're going to work graveyard, which is if you're going to sleep, you can sleep. Like, one of the perks of working graveyard is you can sleep.
Yeah, you're allowed to sleep here and there. Tell me you don't walk, when you're walking down the hall to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Which I know you do that at least twice a night.
I just did.
What do you do?
I stop and look at every goddamn picture up there.
Every one of those pictures, barely get back in time. Tell them what you're looking at there.
I'm just staring. It's like, 1971, Dan Rather interviews Golda Meir.
Right.
And I just stare at it.
Walter Cronkite, Three Mile Island. Vietnam, right.
Yes, I mean, and it's just crazy. I don't know what's so exciting about seeing Dan Rather, who I don't watch on TV now, talking to Menachem Begin in 1979, but I have to stare at it.
What the reason those are all up there for people that don't know where Adam is, he's in the CBS studios in New York on 59th, is it, or something?
57th.
And you don't know this, but you're about 10 paces from Dan Rather's studio. I wandered down there one night, and he's got his own dedicated room there that's the CBS Evening News.
Wow.
And there it is, yeah.
You know, the thing that's interesting about New York is in Los Angeles, when you do TV, you go to a studio, which is like on a big plot of land, and it's kind of spread out. And New York, especially, of course, Manhattan, is just sort of one big skyscraper.
So it's just
skyscrapers everywhere, and so everything gets filmed inside of a skyscraper.
Right, just another building.
I just went and saw, hung out with Carson Daly, who's doing his show on NBC, and you're just walking into a building that looks like an office building, and you go up an elevator, and there you are.
Good times.
Yeah, it's where they do Saturday Night Live, by the way.
Hey, one other thing I wanted to share with you is we had...
Teal some baby!
babies.
I will. Man. Yeah. We did, and we had one of the more bizarre calls, if not one of the most bizarre calls ever for Jimmy on Monday night. And that was a guy who was performing oral sex on his girlfriend. She was sort of straddling him above the, he was kind of breathing hard, and her clitoris ring came undone. You hear this call?
No, the little
ball that sits on the clitoris ring flew off into his mouth and into his lungs. He inhaled it.
Wow.
Oh my God.
That's great.
And it was bizarre. But
now, how do you inhale something when you're choking? Like, how do you get water in your lungs? I know you're breathing, you know, essentially trying to breathe underwater. Is that what it?
Yes, you're breathing in. Your epiglottis is up, and your vocal cords are open when you just something. Well,
the esophagus has a
tube in the middle of it with a flop on it. The epiglottis, this little like without the charts here, I can't really show you, but it's like a lid that flops down over the tube that goes into your lungs.
Well, like when they talk about going down the wrong tube,
that's what they mean.
Is that what they're talking about?
Going into the lungs, yeah.
And it ends up coming out your nose kind of thing?
No, that's going back. It brings it back up to the nose. That's not connected with this tube directly. But this tube, if things get down, that's a sterile area. And if things get down, you got pneumonia. It's bad news.
So now what if you get water in your lungs a little bit?
Usually it's young people can fight it off sometimes a little bit, but it can cause pneumonia.
So this guy had what was left of the clitoral barbell.
No, just the little ball.
The end part, yeah. The ball part, came unscrewed and is now in his lung.
14 gauge, he said.
And how would one get that out, by the way?
Bronchoscopy. It's just like a surgery. It has to be done right away.
And how does that work?
You put people to sleep and you take a fiber optic tube and you send it down into their lungs and you have a little forceps and you get it out.
In the old days, would they cut the lung open?
I don't even know. I guess. It's hard. They may have to take out a piece of the lung in the old days.
Yeah. But imagine, though, this wouldn't have happened. I mean, you're explaining to some doctor in the 50s. Yeah, you know the barbell that goes through the clitoris?
How about the Civil War or something? It's like,
I swallow. Yeah, you just have to tell him it was a musket ball or something at that point, wouldn't you? Less humiliating.
All right, here's Jack. He is 38.
Jesus.
Jack.
That's great.
Hey, Jack.
Yes.
What's up?
How you doing?
Good. You're on the air.
Oh, is this Dr. Drew?
Yeah.
How do you do?
Good.
I got a 12-year-old daughter that's, I guess she's going to be coming of age pretty soon, and I'm not really too sure what to do.
What to do in what sense?
Well, she's going to start her period soon, and she's going to start chemical changes, I guess, right?
Mm-hmm.
Start getting a little bit...
Where's mom?
She died a couple years ago.
Oh, boy.
How'd she die?
In a car accident.
Oh, my God.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Well, the scientific evidence suggests that...
That mayonnaise?
Yeah.
All right.
How are you there, Jack?
All right.
That's my main mayonnaise.
Go ahead, Adam.
Yeah, well, you know, I actually had a couple of thoughts. One is, you know, we always talk about women and who lose their fathers and how they react sort of within relationships and sexually and that kind of stuff. But we don't really know what happens to women who lose their mothers, do we?
Well, not as predictably. In other words, we can't read it as clearly.
Right. So he's got to get her on some kind of drugs, like what they give to the Russian gymnasts, so she doesn't ever come into her period. She's like, she'll be 40 and not have a period, right, Drew?
That's what I'm going to do. But besides, I don't recommend that for everybody.
Then she's for college already, at least.
Yeah, but here's the deal. There's good evidence that you need to establish dialogue between age of 8 and 12.
Okay.
And it doesn't matter what you talk about, except that eventually the things that are confusing her and that she needs answers about, you can offer her and that she feels comfortable coming to you with. So it's important that you establish that you start, keep constantly going to her with open-ended questions, you know.
You know any books I can read to get a little more background?
I don't know any good ones right off the top. There are tons of them. I mean, you go to any bookstore, and I really don't believe in giving a plumbing lesson. That's just too much for kids.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, it's like, ugh. Like, what?
She's going to get that in school anyway.
It's absolutely true. And,
the health education in California is fine,
but
I'm satisfied with it.
It'd be great if you could find a positive female role model in her life, too, that she might be more comfortable
going
to.
Like a girls' club or something?
Well, do you have any friends that are your age that she relates to?
Mm.
couple of guys from work that are hitting on her, if that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, you need to work on that. Getting some women in her life so she can learn.
You know those potty training books, you know, like everyone poos and all that kind of stuff?
There is a bunch of them like that for the sex stuff.
They have like everyone bleeds? I mean, don't they have one for chicks who are getting their periods?
There is a bunch of stuff like that, really. There's a lot of books like that out there. You just go to,
really?
Yeah. Oh, yes. There's all kinds of stuff.
What about like a family planning clinic? Maybe I can get some information there?
If you want to. Now you're getting sort of overly involved.
Okay.
You
know what I mean? I don't want to go too far. I don't want to actually...
If you have a problem, and you know, obviously you go then, but right at this point, you just want to establish rapport, establish dialogue.
Yes.
And get her to, you want a certain body of information communicated to her in a way that she can assimilate it, and that requires an open dialogue with you, or a positive female role model that she can start asking questions of as well.
Okay. Sounds good to me.
All right, good luck.
All right, take care of that, Jim.
You guys were wondering about cell phones and cloudy days.
Yeah.
Clouds don't
5 years ago.
I was going to say, it was about a year ago, Jack.
Yeah, well, I listen a lot.
Yeah,
I've been listening for a couple of years now.
You work for Qualcomm down there or something?
Yes,
or?
I work for Qualcomm.
Oh, how funny is that?
Yeah.
Hey, well, let me ask a couple of questions as long as we have Jack online.
First of all, what about the cloudy day?
Well, it's not going to have any effect. If you're dropping calls, it's probably a capacity issue.
No, because there's nights when Adam and I talk until we walk in our door every night, which Jimmy was laughing his ass off about that, by the way. He thought it was the most pathetic thing he ever heard.
Could be the hand you're using as well.
But if it's 30 degrees out, we get great reception. And if it's foggy and 60, no way.
It does seem to have an effect. But here's how all our conversations go. Yes, Drew and I talk on a cell phone the minute we leave the studio every night, and then till I lose reception up on
the
hill.
You're gay. You're gay.
But we don't talk about the show. It's more like, what are you wearing? And then Drew says, you know what I'm wearing. You just saw me. And I'm like, well, tell me again. I forgot. And he's like, well, it's a flirty handful of chiffon. And I go, no, you're not. You were wearing a sweatshirt. And he goes, gotcha. And then there's long silence, and then we both sigh, and then I do the penny for your thoughts thing, and then I start complaining about my parents.
It gets a little comfortable sometimes. But you wanted to ask Jack some other questions.
Well, listen, Jack, I want to know why in Los Angeles, the cell phone capital of the world, I get horrible goddamn reception almost everywhere in the city.
In the most trafficked areas, certainly.
A lot of it has to do with the other phones that are on that will... what we call jam you. They'll get into your receiver and kick your signal right out.
Hmm. Well, but how much...
If the processor on your phone can't determine your signal, it'll drop the call.
Hmm. Well, how many phones are being used at 12:30 at night on a weeknight?
You'd be surprised. Quite a few. The capacity volume stays up high until usually 3 or 4 in the morning.
Ban the capacity. It's not going to shrink.
Well, and it's a matter of service providers and who owns all the frequency bands, and then you got to talk to your congressman, and it's pretty involved.
Mm. Yeah, but hold on a second there, Jack. Don't tell me that there's more phone calls going on at 12:30 at night than there is at 5:30.
Oh, no. Another thing, it might be that the best time to do maintenance is late at night, so they may take a few base stations down and drop your capacity levels.
Obviously, something is being dropped off because my phone doesn't work. It's not like, oh, it's night and day. Works great at, 4 in the morning, but it doesn't work worth ass at 5 in the afternoon.
Right.
It works like ass all the time. And there's major spots in the city where it just drops off all the time.
There's no coverage for your service provider.
Yeah.
Some places
where I want to know the places where there is coverage.
The intersection of the 5, the 101, the 10, and the 110. Most trafficked area in Los Angeles. Pow.
Here's all I'm saying. And then when you call back, you get charged for rounds up to the minute, right?
Right.
Let's save the baby! All right.
Well, that's
all
where
right.
I get paid then. Every time the phone rings, I get paid.
Nice.
This is the biggest scam in North America because on average, every cell phone call I make,
stock.
Yes, it gets dropped off. I get dropped 3 or 4. Drew, when we speak every night, it gets dropped, what, 3 times?
3 times.
Every night. Wow. And it's rounded up to every minute, every time. And I'm saying at the end of the year, it translates into 500 minutes. I want a rebate on that goddamn money.
There is software, I understand, that can calculate.
No, they're not interested. No. Someone's got to fix this. There has to be some competition. Now, listen, it's the exact same thing. And now, screw those calls. I got a quick rant to do.
All right, Jack, good luck, okay?
Okay, well, take care.
Yeah, good times.
Bye-bye.
Good times. Sorry about the loss.
And then after your rant, we got to go.
No, listen, right. minor rant. But right. Look, the cable networks were horrible for many years.
Right.
A million years, a billion years in this city.
Then satellite.
Why? No competition, zero competition. They just told you, look, you get crap and you'll like it. What are you going to do, watch Channel 13? I dare you. No. So you got crap. Then the satellites came in. Now, what are the cable guys doing? Just begging you to watch.
Kissing your ass.
Kissing consumer ass because there was some form of competition that stepped up, and now those pussies, and to me, I hope they all go under those cable guys because they were raping everyone for all those years. Now they expect to throw on, like, VH1-2 and shave 50 cents off the monthly rate, and we're all supposed to get back on board. Screw you. I hope you guys all go under.
What? But a bunch of pussies.
Thank you, Drew. Someone needs to step up in the cell phone department and do this too. And I don't know how it works, but I know it ain't working.
Yeah.
Someone's got to step up. Yeah. I'm going to introduce my own cell phone.
There you go. The Corolla phone.
Yes, I'm gonna cover myself with foil, and I'm going to stand on top of the highest building and spin around.
CorollaCom.
Well, get great reception. All right, we're going to take ourselves a little break. When we come back, we'll do a little less ranting and take a few more calls after this. Buddy's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. And let's get to the phones there, Drew.
Here's Michelle. She is 32.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi. This is my first time calling, so I'm a little nervous. You'll have to forgive me.
And it seems like everyone calls repeatedly, but most people are just first-time callers, so it's all right.
Oh, okay. My question, well, I had a couple, but my question is, Can you get pregnant, or can a girl get pregnant by partial penetration?
Yes, any penetration can make you pregnant.
Okay, because...
With a penis, or by a penis.
Right. Well, I had my first sexual experience the other night.
Yeah. Does your mother know?
And?
Yeah, my mother does know, unfortunately.
Oh, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Good times.
It was with Dad, that's why.
Unfortunately, well, we got a lot of questions for you now.
Okay.
32, virgin. What's up with that?
Because I have CP.
Cerebral palsy.
Yes.
And that has, again, it's interesting. This is the second call like this. And have you felt unattractive or something because of that? Or?
Somewhat. I know that what I did on Saturday was an impulse reaction because...
Who was the guy?
He was someone that I met off a singles line. We talked for a couple of hours.
How was it okay? Was it okay experience?
It was all right. He seems to be, you know, I asked him about his history. I listened to this show too much, so I was really cognizant of what I was doing, and I asked him about his history, and
mm-hmm.
He said he's, as far as he knows, he's clean. He was in law enforcement. Now he sells real estate.
Oh, but
that's bad.
Salesman.
Pardon me?
Yeah. You know, actually, the only guys, oh, geez, the cops, like, they don't hate me enough. But, we law enforcement guys are always a little dicey. I mean, let's face it. The only guys worse than the guys that are actively in law enforcement are the guys who were in law enforcement. For some reason, they were drummed out of the precinct. Probably, is hanging too much time doing coke in the evidence room or something. But let me ask you this. You have cerebral palsy, right?
Right.
Now, are you confined to a wheelchair, or do you get around okay, or how does this work?
I am confined to a wheelchair, but I work out every day and do 10 miles a day on a stationary bike.
Great.
Do you ever just put your wheelchair up on the treadmill and do it that way?
Nope, can't do that.
Oh, yeah, that'd be cheating, especially if it's, like, electric. But does everyone who has cerebral palsy, are they all in a wheelchair?
No.
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 Are there more severe cases?
Yes, there are. It is mild, moderate, severe.
Mine is kind of moderate, I guess you could say, because my speech isn't affected.
Yeah, I was noticing it doesn't affect you at all.
So your speech is okay, and what do you? People have cerebral palsy. You look about the same, don't they?
No. It's a motor disease.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Is each other they look the same, or is?
No, what I mean is physically minus the wheelchair, you couldn't tell.
Oh no, yes, you could.
You could. How could
those are the people with the, what are called choreoathetoid movements, like the twisting, the fingers separating and moving around. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, but I mean, you're as far as like just say facially, aesthetically.
But they also often have they structurally facially the same, but they also often get sort of distortions of the facial muscles and things as they move.
Well, I don't have any of that though.
Yeah.
Okay,
my legs are affected.
Okay, and you've never had a boyfriend?
Well, I've had relationships, but, I mean, a lot of people are afraid to even broach the subject of sex because they think that because you have CP, you have no sex drive.
Really? That's interesting.
No, they don't do that. They just, the idea of climbing onto someone who was in a wheelchair 5 minutes earlier is not palatable to a lot of guys. And guys, you know, will have sex with corpses, but they won't, they feel bad. They feel like they're taking advantage of you or something, I think.
Why don't we continue this discussion after the break? What do you think?
Yeah, and I'm gonna explain my corpse comments. I realize that may have been a little rough.
Really?
Yeah, that was tough. I shouldn't have said
okay.
that.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So we're gonna come back with Michelle, and we're gonna figure out about the partial penetration and about the cerebral palsy and all that good stuff. And I'm gonna get her a date.
Good.
After this. Everybody, I'm Adam. That's Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. The show's Love Line, and it's nice to be back.
Yes, it is indeed. Glad to have you back. Strangely, it's like we've really missed you. I've missed
you. Well, listen, let's drop the charade of pretending like we're not in love, Drew.
Please, hey, come on. I don't want Susan to find out.
No. I've had enough. Sucking hind. Being the other woman, man.
You know,
I'm tired of it, Drew.
I know it feels like no one listens to us, but a lot of people kind of do, you know. And if you start talking like that, and if I look at this. Oh, how interesting. Remember those disparaging comments you were making about policemen and the diciness that you perceive in those that have once been in law enforcement?
Officer Neal's in there.
Hi, Adam.
Oh, Christ.
That went over like a lead balloon.
Thank God I'm in New York.
Yeah, you're lucky. I came looking for your car.
Neil, though, you know what I'm talking about.
Why don't you enlighten me? You know so much about law enforcement.
And by the way, Jesus Christ, I can hear the guy's holster rubbing against his trigger finger in there. It's horrible sounding. Oh, thank God I'm here. I'm not coming back for a month, Neil.
So, I have 14 years till I retire.
Don't bother hanging around. We're moving studios. Now, listen, here, let me explain. Let me just explain that comment. What did I say, Drew?
Keep digging, boy. Keep going.
Okay, here's what I want to say.
You said that, why don't we play it back? Do we have a tape of that? I believe it was that, let's face it, guys in law enforcement, and especially those guys who were in law enforcement, there's something dicey about them.
Right. Well, there's always a... Always bad cops out there. I mean, let's face it.
Like not bad radio show hosts, right?
Right. Not Officer Neal per se, but I'm just saying, here's my theory
about... Not per se.
Here's my theory about law enforcement personnel. I don't believe in calling them cops or the fuzz or like Drew knows them as the heat or the man. These are guys who are usually aggressive guys who like a little excitement in their job. And who could be on the other side of the law had they not gone the straight and narrow route?
See what he's saying.
Do you know
Neil,
what I'm saying?
What Neil is saying is that he understands the impulse because he could have gone either way. And had he not gone into the lucrative career of radio, he would have been in law enforcement or fire, right?
That's right. I could see myself with that tin pinned onto my chest, walking the beat, taking down perps and cleaning scum off the streets. You know what I'm saying? I'd walk the beat, too. I don't want to use a car. I'd walk my beat, and I'd have that nightstick like that old Blue Night series it used to be on. I'd be spinning it around all the time. I'd have my informants. I'd have these black guys who are dressed in pimp outfits, and I would give them money for information, and I would know everyone's name. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and a diluted sense of reality.
No, I know. This is how I would do it. I would not drive a black and white cruiser. I would have a 74 Grand Torino that was candy apple red with a white stripe going down.
Or a 57 T-Bird, maybe.
Yeah, T-Bird. No, that was Dan Tana. He
wasn't he a cop or something, too?
Private dick,
oh,
please.
Okay, all right.
Instead of a public dick like you, Drew.
I see. see.
All right. Well,
it's
listen,
good that, you have always looked for careers with the word beat in it, and just to keep, you know, your leisure time and your career lined up.
I would just like, on behalf of Dr. Drew and the Loveline family, to issue a formal apology to any of the law enforcement personnel who I may have offended. And that includes you, Officer Neal. And,
You're such a great guy. I appreciate you cleaning that up.
Thank you. It's all going to be better, too, buddy, because me and Officer Neal, we're going to the races in a couple of weeks.
Oh,
now.
No kidding.
Oh, yes.
Oh, nice.
March 24th, right?
Yep, that's right.
Well, we tried to dissuade him from coming in here. I told him that it was Burbank that you had a problem with.
Well, let me tell you one thing about New York, by the way, very quickly. And let me tell you why this is one of the greatest cities in the world. I was walking down 54th today, and I was crossing over Broadway. And for some reason, there was 8 cop cars. I counted them. 8 cop cars all parked either on that corner or in the street. And it's a big, wide street, and the crosswalk was red, and traffic was flying by another direction. And it was nowhere near legal to cross the street at this time. And I stood there on the corner like a scared California pedestrian. And a New Yorker, a veteran New Yorker, walked right past me, dodged in between a few vans that went flying by and crossed the street in front of 8 cop cars. And I thought that could never happen in Los Angeles. Nobody would be ballsy enough to do that.
There you go.
And I like their mentality over here with the leave the pedestrian alone.
Yeah.
Thank you, Neil.
You're welcome.
So the drivers can do their work on them.
But
Neil, I'm saying goodbye to Neil. Thanks, Neil.
Yes. I can't wait till you come home, Adam.
All right. Well, yes.
Hey, are you cheating on me, Adam?
I'll be driving a black BMW 4x4 if you're interested in vandalizing an automobile out in the parking lot. Okay?
Nice.
All right.
All right, Neil. We'll see you on race day.
Take care.
All right, buddy.
What kind of race are you guys going to?
The guy from the remember when the Indy racers came in? Actually, you weren't there. I think Bruce was there 3-4 weeks ago. And, they race all over the country, but there's a race coming up at, like, the California Speedway, and they invited me out. Now, Officer Neal turns out to be a little gearhead himself.
Oh, nice.
So, we're going to go out there.
All right, now let's get back to Michelle.
Yeah,
right,
Michelle.
Now, Michelle had partial penetration, right?
Well, I think that's what you would term it, because he was, like, on the outside.
All right, Michelle has cerebral palsy. She is wheelchair-bound. She met a guy at a dating online or call-in service or something.
Not on the Internet. It's a phone service.
Phone service. And then now is having conflicted feelings about this. And she was a virgin until last night, and for some reason your mom knows about this.
Well, because of financial reasons. I live with my parents. I'm ashamed to admit it.
Well, but that's fine. But
that's all right.
Why would you? Because she was she like? Why is she aware that you were in there having sex?
Well, she wasn't aware at the time, but I had to go to Planned Parenthood to get the morning after pill, and I had to tell somebody.
Oh, good. Okay.
Oh,
nice.
Well, wait a minute.
God bless you for getting the morning after pill. That was genius.
I learned that from you.
God bless
thank you.
You. Soon you will be getting that over the counter without a prescription.
Okay.
Hey, Michelle.
Yes.
How is it that it was only partial penetration? Who decided to stop?
It was me.
Why?
And why? Why?
Because we didn't use anything, and I was scared.
Did it hurt?
Pardon me?
Did it hurt?
Kind of.
Yeah.
I think I was just because you see, it was a total unexpected thing. I mean, we were talking, and he was lonely. I was lonely. We started cuddling, and one thing led to another.
We'll have sex with corpses.
You want to clear that up now?
Well, I can't clear everything up, Drew. It would take too long between the cops and the corpses.
All right.
But look, you can find a guy.
Yes.
I mean, there's someone out there for you, and maybe it's this guy. How'd you leave it with him?
Well, he was kind of upset because we didn't go all the way.
Well, if he's not willing to sort of go slowly with you, screw him. Or don't screw him.
He's not worth it. But you see, I know why I did this. And I know because you guys always talk about what's your underlying issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I just found out, like last week, that the guy I was interested in that wanted to take my virginity, so to speak, is a sex addict.
Well, that's interesting.
Wow. How'd you find that out?
Because he told me some of the stuff he's into now, and I just totally freaked out. And
was it like internet porn, that kind of thing?
It's amateur porn, yeah.
And what about other guys with CP? Can you date one of those guys?
If I could meet any that weren't as involved with their disability as I am. See, there's very few that have it, that I've met, that have it this mild. A case of it this mild. Because, I mean, I have 2 college degrees. I was mainstreamed in school. I'm not your typical CP case, if you want to call it that.
Michelle, I want to go back to this, why you think this guy you were interested in was a sex addict.
Okay.
What was he doing?
Well, everything always came back to sex. He masturbated a lot. He has issues.
Whoa.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, if he's not having sex, he has to masturbate a lot.
Well, but he was having sex in addition to masturbating.
With who? With who?
Guys, will have sex with corpses.
with prostitutes or something? Or?
Well, now he's just doing everybody. And I just found this out recently.
I see. Okay. So he's all over the place.
But
okay.
Before that, he wanted to, and he still wants to do me, but I can't go there.
All right. Okay.
All right, but hey, listen, Michelle, can you date a geek?
Well, this guy that I was with was kind of a geek.
Oh, okay.
Sort of.
All right. Well, there's where you set your sights.
Okay. Well, yeah. But, I guess, how effective is the morning after pill?
Very.
Is it?
Yeah.
No, you're fine.
Yeah, you're
going to
be fine that way.
Get in there.
Yeah, don't worry about that. That's going to be fine. But keep getting up to the plate.
Carrie. But, I mean, she feels good that she's not a... I think she wanted to lose her virginity.
Oh, of course. I think so, too.
Oh, Jesus. Hold on. But what a life. You know what I mean? 32, living at home. You got some college degrees.
Yeah.
You know, it's like women. Don't you think women are worse off in this situation?
Yeah.
I mean, I knew a guy was in a wheelchair, and he dated that Playboy model who turned into an actress, Erica Leniak.
Mm-hmm.
Remember her?
Yeah.
Drew, what are you doing now? Reading?
No, I'm don't know exactly who you're talking about, but I remember the story. So okay.
She's a super hot blonde who ended up doing these movies. She did like this that Steven Seagal movie, Under Siege, on the battleship and stuff. She was a really hot blonde, and she dated this guy I knew for like 5 years, and this guy was confined to a wheelchair.
Interesting.
All right, Drew, you're not paying attention.
I am paying. I don't know where you're going with this. It's very interesting.
All I'm saying that if the woman is in a wheelchair, she ain't dating any male models who are doing Playgirl and leading roles in movies where they're supposed to be hunks.
Although, let's take you, for instance. What if there was that blonde girl that was dating the guy in the wheelchair, what if she was in an accident and the next week was in a wheelchair? Would you date her?
No, I'd nail her one more time.
Okay.
You know, just to say I got someone
before,
in a wheelchair.
Before her skin started breaking down? Okay.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. I just don't, it's extra tough on a woman who has a disability. She's going to have to date some scumbag.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you're probably right.
All right.
Carrie's 20.
Hi. I just wanted to give you guys some words of encouragement. I know being a caller that kind of takes away what you would care about, encouragement from your callers, but I had an abortion recently, a few months ago, and so I'm having the baby, and I guess my main question is, I've been masturbating every day since I was about 15, and it doesn't seem like a problem, but I realize that it doesn't sound normal.
No, it's normal.
Okay. For a girl to masturbate every day, and she doesn't...
There are many women that do that.
What's that have to do with the abortion?
Huh?
Nothing?
Well, why did you mention the abortion?
Oh, just because people were calling and bashing on Adam on the Howard Stern's show, and I think he's very funny, and a few years ago I may not have had the abortion. I grew up in a very fundamentalist Christian family that...
Well, we're not necessarily advocating abortion. We're advocating adoption.
I'm all for abortion too.
Go ahead and have a kid that is going to have.
Yeah, but a child for. But you know, the laws have been, especially in California, are easier now to give kids up for adoption, and that's what we're encouraging. You either take the morning after pill so you don't have to have an abortion, and don't ever get pregnant, or adoption.
Well, I was using a condom, but you would rather me have an abortion than go ahead and have a baby.
I know this is unfair. I'm not judging you, and I'm not telling you what to do or anything, but I think I'd like to encourage people to give kids up for adoption, because there are tons of quality parents out there that would love to have these children. And to be very, very careful with their contraceptives and to use the morning after pill, because that is how you prevent abortions.
How about it? How about adopting the aborted fetus? Is there any? Can you do that?
That's you, Adam. You have a whole collection, I'm sure.
Yeah, I want a mayonnaise jar.
Oh, my God.
Fill the formaldehyde.
That's my mayonnaise.
And it's like, honey, good news and bad news. Good news, the adoption went through. Okay, now the bad news. It was an aborted fetus. Hear me out. Hear me out. We're going to put it up on the windowsill above the sink. I'm going to put one of those avocado seeds in it, and I'll put toothpicks through it, and it'll...
No, good times.
Not going to work.
No,
and what do they do that abortion with? Is it still a vacuum?
No, it's not. I had to get an ultrasound, which is kind of weird, but it was pretty painless.
How'd they do it?
Having cramps. I think they just put in one of those duck-billed things. I don't remember what they're called, sorry.
Speculum.
And pull it out.
So you got a DNC?
I guess so.
Okay.
What's the DNC?
They just go in and scrape everything out.
And how far along were you?
8 weeks.
Oh, okay.
7 weeks.
They didn't give you the RU486 or anything like that?
No, I was too far along to do that, apparently. Okay. When I went in, and within a day when I found out I was pregnant, I had it done within 2 days.
I see.
When does that cut off, the RU486? At 6 weeks
something?
I thought it was 10 weeks.
No, because I would have rather have had the RU48, and I went to
46.
Places in Seattle.
All right, baby.
You know, and listen, the masturbation once a day, you're just healthier in a way. I mean, that's a good thing if you can do that.
Okay, that's what I was thinking, but...
No, that's fine. A lot of women can't do that, and that's all right. That's fine.
Okay.
All right? All right.
Cool.
All right, good times there, baby.
Yeah, good times.
All right, so we got the...
good times.
We got the cerebral palsy. We got the caller before where the guy's wife was cleaned out in a car accident.
Right, let's take it easy.
Now we got an abortion.
Right,
who's next? Priest raped a retarded 4-year-old kid with a crucifix, or what do we got there?
Ralph is 20.
Oh, hey, how you doing? I had a question. If weed interacts with anesthesia, because I'm having surgery in like 2 days, I'm all freaked out.
If you're a daily pot user, the anesthesiologist needs to know.
Okay, I've been smoking on and off for like 6 years.
You got to talk to the anesthesiologist about it. It's important on multiple levels.
Okay.
He needs to know in terms of your lung function and the fact that it often causes chronic bronchitis. He also needs to know that you may have withdrawal, and he has to adjust for that. So it needs to be dealt with.
Okay.
What are you getting done?
Just taken out of my thigh out of one of my previous surgeries, because I've had like 8 of them.
For what?
Cerebral palsy. I've had it like.
True.
Did I just give you a talking to?
Huh?
Nothing. Ralph.
Yeah.
Maybe we can set Ralph and Michelle up.
Hey, yeah. How about a nice 32-year-old, partially penetrated, some would argue virgin, who still lives at home and has 2 degrees? Sound good?
It's not that bad of a case. Actually, I walk with crutches and everything. I'm actually very lucky.
Michelle, we have a 20-year-old Hesher for you.
Who laughs like a woman.
Huh?
Who laughs like Diane Cannon.
No, that was Michelle.
Well, oh, that was Michelle?
Yeah, I got her.
Oh, that was her.
Yeah, yeah.
And on another note, you guys are doing a great service to the community and the nation, and a lot of young people who need you guys. Thanks, you know? Right.
Thanks, Ralph.
Thanks.
But now, Ralph, how old is Ralph? 21?
20, yeah.
20. Michelle?
Michelle? Is she not there? Wasn't there? Here you are, Michelle. There she is. Go ahead,
Michelle?
Adam.
Yes. Are you interested in Ralph?
I guess not.
This is an interesting night.
I'm not sure she can hear me, Drew.
Can you hear Adam, Michelle?
Drew, she can't hear you either, you idiot.
Wait a minute.
Put her on hold, would you? How dare you destroy my precious show.
Wait a minute,
let me try this.
Michelle, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, there we go. Okay, Adam, go ahead.
Ralph has CP.
Right.
He also he smokes the weed.
No, I'm going clean. I actually went clean. I haven't smoked in like a week. That sounds hilarious, but I'm actually serious. I swear to God.
Okay. Are you interested in girls with CP?
I'm interested in anyone. I don't look at like certain aspects. You know, whoever's cool, whatever. You know.
That's nice.
Right. That's me. I'm that way too. As long as they have a great ass and rack and are over 5'11".
Tara. Why don't we give them each opportunity to exchange email addresses with each other,
Please.
No, let her do it. Let her, but you should, right. Tara will give each of you one another's email addresses, all right?
Okay.
All right, Michelle, you had another question, right?
Yeah, I did. I went to Planned Parenthood, and they told me that the likelihood of my getting pregnant or contracting an STD was very low.
Correct.
That's right?
Very low. And then when you take that OC, the morning after pill, it's very, very low. You're like virtually nil. Okay?
Michelle, you got two college degrees. You should know this.
Well, I know, but I'm just worried about the STD.
No, relax.
You're fine.
Yeah, nothing major can happen from partial. I mean, you can get some symptoms if you do get it checked out. But right now, you guys go ahead and exchange email addresses. Here is...
All right. Oh, yeah, she... Listen, Drew.
Why?
I was just thinking, like, imagine if she got, like, it's like, well, she's in a wheelchair, she lives at home, and she has hepatitis C, but now I want to set you up with her. Oh, Jesus Christ. I mean, that'd be a tough sell. And it's Ralph, you know,
Ralph's
Drew,
a good
don't.
Guy.
But don't, when you have a cerebral palsy, you get those crutches, but they're like those cerebral palsy crutches,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, with the little things that grab your forearms.
How come you don't just use those crutches every time you need crutches? They seem like the best crutches.
I don't have an answer.
You know what I mean?
They aren't really weight-bearing crutches, though. They're sort of balance crutches.
They're sort of like what you use ski poles for,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Or what one of the flying Wallinas would use, like that bar when he was up on the tightrope, right?
Now, should I know flying Wallinas the way I was supposed to have known Doug Henning?
No.
Okay.
But the flying Molinas, the Molinas. I gotta look that up. I gotta look that up. But anyway, they're the most famous circus tightrope troupe of all time.
I see. Good times.
All right.
We're gonna take a break.
All right.
All right. Good times.
All right. We'll be right back. Everybody, Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Just having a long conversation with my engineer Matt out here in New York about the flying Wallendes. Wallinas.
We're getting tons of calls now, thanks to that.
Whatever the hell they were.
What are they saying? What are the calls?
They're calling to tell us who they are.
No calls. He knew who they were.
But we're getting people calling to tell us about it, so.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're just a family of tightrope walkers, basically.
Okay. Right.
And the oldest man, the grandfather, died going, like, from one building to the next in, like, Rio or Mexico City
That's
or something.
That's on film, too.
And the thing that was weird that we were just talking about with me and Matt, because we both saw footage of this, apparently. I've seen footage of it a couple of times. It's kind of uncomfortable to watch a guy die. But this guy kind of lost his balance, like a little wind kicked up, and he sort of knelt down, you know, to the tightrope to sort of grab hold of it, which is, I guess, what you do when there's nothing under you for 10 stories.
Yeah.
And he didn't really try to grab it that much.
Huh.
He just kind of kneeled down to grab it and just rolled and fell right off and never really grabbed this rope he was on, this cable he was on.
He's a pro.
You know what it looked like? It was like he was done. It's like, I'm 74, I can't do this anymore, this is the way I'm going.
Was he that old?
I would reckon he was in his early 70s. 73? I said 73 to you in the office at some point. Matt just got on the computer, by the way.
How the
hell do I know the guy was 74, by the way?
That's weird. One of the things that happens as you get older is your reaction time slowed dramatically. That's one of the things they've really shown, that your sort of processing is slowed down. And so he may not have really... like reacted. I mean, that takes too long for him to react.
Well, he reacted to the point where a wind kicked up, and again, he's on a cable stretched between two buildings in what city, Matt? Was it Mexico City? Was in Rio? Where was he? All the same place. He's in San Juan. He's between two buildings. He's like 8 or 10 stories up, and he had enough reaction or enough wits about him to bend down and go for the wire when he knew he was losing his balance, because he didn't fall off of it. He sort of bent down, tried to grab hold of it. But there's also, you know, you always tell me how old people don't care?
Yeah.
There's an element of that. Like, you know, the old guys who walk around in the jumpsuits and they look like idiots and they're wearing slippers and they got a bunch of hair hanging out of their ears. And I'm always asking you, why is this guy doing this? And you go, they don't care. They're going to die. What do they care? This guy grabbed that wire like it was like an old guy going for a TV remote. It was like, right. Maybe I get it, maybe I don't.
We were actually watching it in here just the other night.
Really?
It was on in here last week, and it's actually really kind of funny in a sick way. And we were all breaking up, and Adam looked over and thought that we were laughing at something he had just said, but we were watching this guy fall.
No, I had to know it was an old man falling to his death.
That's much more amusing than anything you would say, Adam. Please. Please.
Yeah.
Good time.
All right, so I'm right. Like, he bent down to get the wire, but he didn't really feel like grabbing it that day. All and right. What is it? Is it Flying Melendez, Flying Melinas, Flying Melendez?
Melendez, yes. They're saying
Oh, Melendez. All right, there we go.
Melendez.
True, just one more thing you've not heard of.
One more. And that steel trap mind of yours has captured another tidbit of information.
Put that
Why don't you
in
go
the...
on Jeopardy?
Oh, please. You know why, Drew? Only compared to you am I a genius.
Here's Kelly.
The rest of society, I'm an idiot.
Kelly's 23. Kelly.
Uh-huh.
What's going on?
Nothing. I have a question. Me and my boyfriend, we've decided to have sex on Friday, and he's talking about, like, how he really likes to eat girls out, and I know that you guys...
He's quite a sweet talker, isn't he? Is this your first sexual experience?
No, but I wanted...
What makes one sort of plan it like that? Are you going to a hotel or something?
Uh-huh. Well, we're going to drive down to Vegas.
Nice.
And so, I mean, I think that would be like an appropriate time and everything.
How long have you been dating this guy?
About 4 weeks.
Okay.
How old is he?
He's 28.
Okay.
How old is Kelly?
23.
All right.
This guy's going insane right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
And so, anyways, I'm wondering, like, if there's anything I can do to make it more pleasant, like,
Kelly.
Like, if there's anything I can do, like, to eat or...
No, Kelly, please. Adam, what can make this guy happier than what's about to happen to him?
Good douching?
No, come on. I mean, really, he's going to be fine, right? No matter what she does.
Yeah, he'll be fine.
It's pizza, right?
Yeah, it's all good. Even bad pizza's good.
Okay.
Seriously.
And, are you going to, what do you want to do? You going to do everything to him?
I want to, yeah.
All right. Well, like, what are you asking us?
No, she wants to know how to make the, this guy says he likes performing oral sex, and she's concerned that it should taste good for him.
Yeah, I want to taste good for him.
And my point is, hey, this guy is going to be so ecstatic that you're letting him do these things to you that...
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, you're driving out to Vegas?
Uh-huh.
From Salt Lake City.
Yeah, Salt Lake
City. Oh, okay. But you're not on a moped or mule or anything. I mean, you're not going to be all soiled down there, right?
No. It's going to be a fun weekend.
I'll tell you what I would do, though, quite honestly.
Okay.
You would douche?
No.
No, you wouldn't?
Like, is there like a strawberry one or something, you know, something that...
There's one that tastes like Bugles that just came out that I would be interested in. No, here's what I'd like you to do.
Okay.
You're going to wear a nice all-cotton skirt with some all-cotton panties.
Okay.
Okay, sweet pea, you writing this down?
I got it. Well, I went and bought like a little thingy from Victoria's Secret.
Very nice, very nice. Nice, you know what's nice? A nice cotton skirt with like a thong back panty.
Guy's going to take so much at him.
Thong back panty.
Okay.
Right, but here's what I want you to do. On the ride out there, he's going to be driving, right?
Uh-huh.
I want you to subtly, now don't do it in a very obvious way, but take the vent, the air conditioning vent, and guide it down toward your coochie.
Okay.
So that and spread your knees just a little bit, and you'll be wearing those sheer cotton panties. So that you have a nice airflow going over the vaginal region the whole trip out there.
Oh.
That way, when you get there and you get to the room, your vagina will be morning fresh.
Maybe they could take a bath
see
together.
What I'm saying?
Bath together, something like that.
But that's a little much for the first time out.
All right.
Well, you'll take it afterward.
Mm. Right.
You want to be springtime fresh when you hit the room, and I'm saying the cotton panties with the air that's coming out of the vent system subtly directed toward your crotch will be a nice way to keep that air circulating and not to build up any stink or perspiration down there.
Okay, here we go.
All right? Should write a Heloise type book, shouldn't I?
Or how about just a newspaper column? You know what
it is. Ask Adam about your vagina.
Dear Adam. Yeah, that was interesting. I'm immediately imagining one of those. You know, you ever seen those snack packs with the Fritos and the Ruffles and the barbecue flavor? Mm-hmm. Can you imagine a douche pack like that? Bugles, sour cream and onion,
Funyuns,
popcorn and cheese. It'd be amazing.
Ranch,
Adam,
yeah,
cheddar. There's a whole thing for you. A Triscuit.
I'll tell you, most guys would be much more apt to get down there, especially during football season when guys are used to that, you know, snacking on that kind of stuff. You just have a very Pavlovian response to it, you know.
Oh, excited.
You'd smell that smell of baked cheddar, and you just head right down there.
They'd have to make it extra, like, salty.
You know what I could go for, too? Like a ginger snap flavored douche.
A vanilla wafer?
Ooh.
Vanilla wafer.
Vanilla.
What? Okay.
All right. Please. Go ahead. Okay. Go ahead.
I'm sickening myself here. Not that I'm disgusted, but that we should go down this road and spend a lot of time talking about these sorts of things is sort of shocking to me.
It's Parker. Beneath you.
Thank you. Parker's 14.
Hey. I'm so excited to be on the show right now.
Cool.
Great.
Hey guys.
Hey Parker. Why don't you ask Parker if he might enjoy some of those snack packs? Or if he has his own sort of flavor he'd like to recommend?
Maybe like pizza, you know? That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, there you go. That's not very
it's
creative.
It's sort of weird going down on pizza, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Adam?
Yeah. Yeah, I will look. I'm done with this whole premise, so I'm ready to move on.
All right. Parker, what's up?
It's getting old. I'm a little crooked down there.
Mm-hmm.
And, Dr. Drew, I know you mentioned that taking vitamin E
mm-hmm.
will help that.
Maybe, yep.
Yeah, or it might.
Might.
If it's, like, in my lotion that I use,
yep.
Will that work?
Nope. You have to take 800 units by mouth every day.
You do?
Yes.
Shoot, but can I still use the lotion then?
Yeah, were you masturbating with this lotion?
Yeah.
Yeah, the lotion is fine. There's vitamin E in the lotion or aloe and all that good stuff. But why aren't you taking vitamin E every day?
Because it's sort of weird to, like, ask my parents to get me vitamin E because...
Why don't you, probably for, like, 10 bucks, you can go down to the pharmacy and get 300 caplets.
Does it do something else? So that I can say it in case they find it or something?
Well, it's good for you. It's not. People say vitamin E... is a good thing to take every day. It's somewhere between 400 and 800 units. I mean, okay. For a 14-year-old, they wouldn't necessarily advocate it, but it's...
Yeah, if they question you about this vitamin E, you just tell them your girlie says it makes your load taste sweet.
Here's a...
That's
they'll impress them. Here's what you do. Here's a reasonable vitamin protocol would be 400 units... Well, take 800 of vitamin E, because that's what you need for the Peyronie's. Take 500 to 1,000 of vitamin C, and get a good multivitamin like Stress Tab or Centrum or Theragran. And there you go. You just said, I'm taking care of myself. I'm looking after my nutrition.
Okay. Is that stuff good, those multivitamins?
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard to know whether they're good or not. It hasn't been proven. They're not bad. Okay.
I just came up with another good idea. You know, they got the Flintstones stuff for the kids, right?
Then we have the Schwanz whites?
I just mean, once you become an adult, you don't have anything. Like, they have vitamins for kids, and the vitamins for adults are just vitamins.
Yeah.
How about ones shaped like porn stars or something, mm-hmm. or something with an adult theme, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Why lose that theme? Or instead of having them be Flintstones, you know, have it be like the cast of NYPD Blue or something, like an adult show.
Mm-hmm.
So you could eat Dennis Franz or something like that. Write that down, Drew.
Another one of your genius...
Another one of my genius. Adult-shaped vitamins.
Here's Amber.
Wait, let me ask you this, Drew. Yeah. 800 milligrams, is that just two pills, basically?
800 units. Vitamin E comes in 400 and 800. And there's different forms of it. There's controversy about that.
He can do this, then.
Yeah.
And you know what I wanted to ask him, though? They already know he's beating off feverishly because he's going through a quart of that Nivea lotion every 3 days.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, look.
Here he is. Here's Parker. Parker?
Yeah?
Adam,
where do you get your lube?
Well, my family's a big lotion user, so I just snag it from the kitchen or the family room or wherever they have it.
Yeah, but don't they know that they're going through, like, before puberty, they were going through two, 13-ounce containers of that every 6 months. And ever since Parker hit puberty, they've gone through 73 gallons in the last quarter.
Well, suddenly they're buying it in the drums.
Yeah. They're having a guy from in a flatbed truck lower the Tommy lift in a 55-gallon drum on a pallet lift that's being dragged into the house every 3 days. Don't they notice that?
Well, yeah, and my mom does my laundry, so I think she's figured it out anyway.
Oh, Jesus. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you gotta
get that manual out.
And I've got another question.
Right, is that what it's called, Adam?
You gotta learn to beat off in the shower, my friend.
I can't do it standing up.
Yeah, you better learn, because that's life.
I'll try. I'll do that.
All right.
And if it points, like, upwards, does that just mean that it'll eventually go back down? It's like pointing towards my belly button or something.
No. That can be normal.
Only your balls head toward terra firma. Your penis that keeps getting higher and eventually stab you in the eye. Here's what'll happen. Let me explain what happened. You'll lose bone mass as you get older. You'll start to hunch over because your back will give way, but your penis will keep rising. And I've done some rough calculations. By the time you're 71 years old, your penis will be planted in your right eye.
And your nuts?
Your nuts will be dragging the ground.
You'll be stepping on them.
You have to put wheels on them. You have to use one of those mechanics creepers in order to drag your nuts around with you while your penis is in your eye.
Very good.
Old age.
Quite an image. That's nice.
Thank you.
All right, Parker. Thanks.
Okay.
Why don't we take another break here, shall we?
All right there, Drew.
I'm going to talk to Matt.
About
why don't you take a walk down the memory lane there? Look at some of those pictures of Dan Rather and Walter Cronkite and Morley Seager.
All right, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to go down. I'm going to bring my notepad. I'm going to tell you who else I saw in the hallowed halls of NBC.
Fair enough.
Wait, are we CBS or NBC?
CBS.
Oh, well, there you go.
Nice.
We'll be back.
All right.
Dr. Drew. I'm in New York tonight. I'll be back in L.A. tomorrow doing the show from our Los Angeles studios right next to my partner and lover, Dr. Drew.
Thank you.
I'm at the CBS headquarters out here in New York on 57th Street right here in Manhattan.
Did you go see Dan Rather's studio there? You gotta go see it. It's pretty amazing.
I took a leak on his chair.
But you go over there, there's like three security guards standing in the studio. It's amazing.
Oh, there is?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe I peed on someone else's chair.
So what'd you see in the hall?
I saw Anwar Sadat talking to Dan Rather in 1981. I saw Andy Rooney took a trip on the Goodyear blimp in 1996.
Boy.
Yeah, I'm sure, you know, everyone knows where they were. You know, it's like Kennedy being shot. Uh-huh. You know where you were when Kennedy was shot, and to a newer generation who wasn't alive when Kennedy was shot, I think they know where they were when Andy Rooney flew over the Michigan-Ohio State game on the Goodyear blimp in 1996.
Wow.
Yeah, Engineer Matt over here is nodding his head feverishly. He remembers where he was. He was napping.
And then let's see.
And not caring. And then Yasser Arafat and Itzhak Rabin.
There's some Vietnam's pictures, right?
Yeah, there's Cronkite in Vietnam, 1968 or something like that. And they have to put that stuff up. Otherwise, every time Rather walked down the hall, he'd get pissed, right?
I guess so. Kind of interesting, though.
Yeah.
In a boring way. There's Bradley, what's his name?
Ed Bradley.
Ed Bradley, he's up there on the wall with something, was he?
He's talking to Muhammad Ali.
Muhammad Ali, here you go. Amanda, 16. Amanda?
Yes?
What's going on?
I was writing because just recently, like the past couple weekends ago, I became like a reborn Christian, I guess you can kind of say.
A couple of weeks ago?
Yes, like, it wasn't last weekend, but like the weekend before.
And what led to that realization, to that conversion?
I went to a camp with my best friend.
Mm-hmm.
It was a Christian camp, and though I was a believer, the camp, like, was really deep, and it kind of, like, I guess you can kind of say, like, I felt it, you know, like...
Rekindled it, huh?
Yeah. And so I totally like decided to rededicate myself because
nice.
Right. I've been to one of those camps.
You did? What went wrong?
Yeah.
They're probably still wringing their hands at all. That Corolla was 20 years ago.
It's like a regular camp. They got, you know, lanyard making and canoeing and brainwashing at 3. Yeah, it's a regular curriculum.
Yeah.
I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
Okay, Amanda.
Well, okay. The thing is that, you know, my best friend brought me into that in the very beginning, and then I decided to become one out of nowhere. And so now it's like,
well, don't turn the radio down, will you?
Yeah, I just did that. Okay,
Hey, hold on, put her on hold for a second. Let me ask you a hypothetical, Drew.
Yeah.
The average born-again Christian, how much lower is the IQ of the average born-again?
That's how I knew that was coming.
Is it 50 points, or would you say it's closer to 75?
I don't know.
Seriously, you know what I'm talking about.
Wait a minute. Where is she? Here's the
average Jew. Average Jew IQ versus average born-again Christian. I got to say at least 50. Hmm. At least 50 in there, right?
Good times.
That means he agrees. So.
Amanda.
Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Go ahead there, Amanda.
Okay, well, the thing is that I just recently became one. And the thing is, before I was doing all that, I was masturbating. And since I became a reborn Christian, I totally wanted to, like, follow the guidelines that, I guess, the Bible has.
The guy of the Bible doesn't want you to masturbate?
Well, no.
It doesn't? What is it? Does it allude to that at all?
What do you mean?
Where does it say Ishmael?
Does it say that?
Yeah.
Well, it's because you shouldn't have any kind of, like, sexual feeling.
Where does it say that?
It's in there somewhere.
Amanda, you ought to examine what's in there before you start.
Fine
that you're doing this. That's fine. I commend you.
I didn't necessarily like see this for myself, but it has been told to me, and
sure.
it's like a bunch of other things that are like totally against what I personally think, and it's like I don't know if I should follow the Bible or what I think. Like, you know, the Bible even says that.
Why don't you integrate why don't you use your own head, read what's in the Bible, and just integrate it into your own belief system in a way that's really yours.
But it's
if you're good at that, you can kill people and stuff and still sleep like a baby. A lot of people do that. Well, sure, if you can work it out.
I'm not saying the eye
for the eye thing and everything.
Mm. Uh-huh.
Listen, here's the only logical sort of scientific way to figure this out,
uh-huh,
is you got to put the Bible down on a coffee table,
uh-huh,
and then you have to put a pair of soiled panties down on the same coffee table on the other side adjacent from the Bible.
Uh-huh.
Then you take your vibrator or dildo and you spin it around.
Okay.
Now, God will control the outcome of this experiment. If there is a God, he will make sure that the dildo points toward the Bible, in which case you must stop masturbating and quickly destroy the dildo.
Those letters.
If it points toward the panties, well, this is just good science.
To Adam Carolla.
Oh, please. You are a man of science, Drew. I cannot believe you're not backing me on this double blind.
All right, listen, Amanda. Okay. I think it's great that you recommitted to your faith. Uh-huh. I think it's great if it helps you contain sexual feelings that you're having trouble containing.
Uh-huh.
There's nothing. I wish you wouldn't judge your own biological functioning or feel there's something wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's great to be able to contain and master it. But integrate this in a way that's really yours, okay?
That's enough out of you. You're going to heaven. Don't worry about it. You go ahead and masturbate. You'll still get into heaven, okay?
Mm.
Fine.
Megan, 17.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you guys doing tonight?
Good. All right.
Good.
Good. I'm nervous.
All right, baby. Hurry up now. I gotta
get
some sleep.
That's what you call a nervous laugh.
Yeah.
Okay, well, my boyfriend and I have been together for like 5 months, and I just moved in with him.
Mm-hmm. At 17, how old is he?
He's 20, or not 20, he's 19.
Hmm. All right.
And first night we moved in, his best friend is his roommate, and I ended up kissing his best friend. And, like, I'm really attracted to his best friend. I mean, I still love my boyfriend and all. He doesn't really seem to get the fact that humans, it's like a natural impulse. You're attracted to other people.
Megan, what is up with your boundaries?
I don't know. I was like, I didn't even mean for it to happen. I mean, we're watching anime.
Yeah, but it, you know, you're somehow surprised that he'd be upset by this?
No, I wasn't surprised. I wasn't. I knew he'd be upset, but he cheated on me like when we first got together.
Oh, all right, payback time.
Payback.
No, it wasn't payback. Yeah. It wasn't payback. Yeah. See, because the thing is I've had chances to cheat on him.
Yeah, but not with his best friend roommate right in front of him.
No, it wasn't.
That's finally the opportunity of a lifetime. You got it.
No, I didn't mean for it. It was weird. I told him, I'm like, I've had so many...
I didn't mean for it. It doesn't make any sense at all. If you didn't mean it, you don't do it.
Well, I mean, and the thing is like, I want to be friends with his roommate still, but I don't... I don't know if I should, because I want to save my relationship. I really love my boyfriend.
Well, I don't think you should be living with your boyfriend, frankly.
No,
you're
just 17. You couldn't handle rabbits at this point. Forget about living with a guy. You're a mess, baby. And where was your boyfriend when you made out with this guy?
At work.
You're going to end up having sex with that guy.
How did he find out?
I wouldn't. I told him because I felt really guilty about it.
Oh, no. You didn't tell him because you felt guilty. It was payback time.
No, it wasn't payback.
Oh, please. You were more transparent than Saran Wrap, for Christ's sake. Jesus. I mean, here she is. She goes, well, he screwed around on me early on, but I was over it.
Yeah, she brings that up first thing.
Oh, yeah. She was over it. Yeah. That's why she then made out with this guy and then told him. And the poor roommate was like, he would have killed her had he known she was going to say anything. He just did the math. It's like, sure, why is she going to want to know? And by the way, guys, let this serve as a warning to you, because when a woman cheats on her man with you, 3/4 of the time she's doing it to let the guy find out because it's payback time.
That's right.
Now, you're thinking like a guy, which is, if I screw around on my old lady, I ain't letting anybody find out about it.
You're doing it to get away with it because you can.
And you're just using logic, which is completely out the window because you're dealing with a woman. But you using logic are saying, why would she, on God's green earth, even consider telling her boyfriend that she made out with me? Well, guess what, Stooge? That's why she made out with you.
There you go. And speaking of payback time, we got to go to break.
We'll be right back.
We got to pay some bills.